This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. This is Sharmila Ganesan together with Limsu Ann. So before the break, we were talking about what we can expect from the newly announced cabinet lineup yesterday, particularly the ministries that will be looking at our environment, issues of climate change and how our natural resources are going to be used, mm-hmm. what the challenges they have to face are, and hopefully the kind of changes we can see from them. And now, moving on to our second story, we do have a question going on social media.
We're asking you, so we're saying that a recent survey by the UN found that 9 out of 10 people are still biased against women. So we're asking you if you notice incidences of this in your daily life. So 48% of you say yes occasionally, 34% of you say yes all the time, while 18% of you say no. So you can tweet, you can take that poll, tweet us your thoughts at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
So that's quite an interesting and I suppose shocking statistic mm-hmm. in some way that 9 out of 10 people are still biased against mm-hmm. women. And it's people, it's not men, yeah?
It's everyone.
Yeah, it's people in general. So we thought we'd sort of unpack that a bit in today's show. You know, because every time there's a women's march or a protest demanding equal rights, what usually follows are criticisms, mm-hmm. right? And we're not just talking about extremists or so-called bigots who genuinely believe that women are second-class citizens. You know, let's put them aside for a second. But let's look at the kind of people who, you know, just roll their eyes and think that women's rights marches and protests and things like that are, you know, just a waste of time or, you know, a trend or a bandwagon.
Mm. And some people tend to live in that bubble of theirs, right? And I've heard people saying, you know, both men and women who say things like, oh, that's only in the old days. These days, women and men are treated equally. Or even online on social media, when you see famous women activists putting up stuff on like a tweet or a Facebook post, you will see comments of people saying that, well, actually things have changed. Mm. Sort of, I guess, their own perspective on what things are like.
Well, the thing is, things have changed. You know, we don't live the kind of lives that possibly our grandmothers did. but the reality is that even today, 1/3 of men and women across the globe actually think that it's acceptable for a man to beat his wife. And I'm using those words quite carefully because I was shocked when I heard this.
Mm. And this is actually according to the Gender Social Norms Index, GSNI, which was published by the United Nations Development Programme. So the study measures how social beliefs obstruct gender equality in areas like politics, work and education. And the data is derived from 75 countries. And these countries cover over 80% of the world's population. Mm. And to be honest, the stats are quite depressing. You know, one third of men and women think it's acceptable to beat for a man to beat his wife.
Yeah.
I mean, how much more depressing can that get,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And even today, close to 90% of men and women hold some sort of bias against women.
Mm. And there's more. According to the index, about half of the world's men and women genuinely believe that men make better political leaders. And over 40% feel that men make better business executives. And yeah, as you said, I think and to get to that one third, it's actually 28% of men and women who think that it's justified for a man to beat his wife.
Mm. And we know that we do live in a male-dominated world. You know, we know that the pillars of patriarchy still stand erect. But when we look at the numbers, only then do we realise how bad the situation is. You know, it's quite shocking. So Pedros Conceicao, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, he's the director of the UNDP's Human Development Report Office, has expressed his worry. So he said what the report highlights is a pattern that keeps repeating itself. Mm. So while there are big strides made in certain areas, there is slim to no progress at all in most other places.
Mm. In fact, according to the World Values Survey, which looks at changing attitudes in almost 100 countries and how they impact social and political life, there are only 6 countries out of 75 studied where the majority of the population did not have a bias towards women.
But while more than 50% of people in Andorra, Australia, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway and Sweden were free from gender prejudice, even here the progress is not absolute, right? I mean, Sweden is one that is one of the Scandinavian countries that is often held up as an example. But when you compare the periods of 2005 to 2009 and 2010 to 2014, the data reveals that the percentage of people who held at least one bias against women has increased.
So for those of you who think that all of this is just some feminists making a lot of noise for nothing, it's not. Things may be better now than it was during our grandparents' time, but numbers don't lie, and the numbers do tell us that we need to keep on fighting. And that's why we need to take to the streets to make our voices heard.
Yeah, and I guess this and this really isn't an international problem as well. Last year, the Pakatan Harapan's government's effort to ban child marriages nationwide that failed when seven states in the country rejected the amendment. These seven states are Sarawak, Pahang, Terengganu, Perlis, Kelantan, Negeri Sembilan, and Kedah.
And this nationwide ban of child marriages was actually one of the demands made by demonstrators here in Malaysia when they participated in the Women's March just this Sunday, actually, and in conjunction with International Women's Day. So there were over 300 people who gathered in front of Sogo, Kuala Lumpur, and marched to Dato' Merdeka, and chants like "Destroy Patriarchy" and "We Want Freedom" really just echoed through the crowded streets of Kuala Lumpur. So they actually were listing seven key demands. And I'm just going to read all seven so that we have an idea of what they are. One was end all violence based on gender and sexual orientation. Then it's ban all child marriages. Third is ensure our rights and freedom to make choices over our own bodies and lives. Number four is equal pay for equal for work of equal value. Number five is to legislate the Gender Equality Act. Number six is to declare a climate crisis and to formulate a national plan to mitigate the climate crisis. And finally, for equal public and political participation.
So to help us get a sense of, you know, what went down the Women's March, for those of us who weren't there, that happened on Sunday. And I got in touch with Angela M. Kuga, a human rights activist and volunteer at the Women's March Malaysia. And first I asked her what the atmosphere was like on the ground during the Women's March on Sunday.
It was pretty amazing because we, as a volunteer, I actually thought that, you know, less people would turn up compared to last year. But actually, I think we had either, you know, about the same number of people or maybe even more. Yeah, but definitely a lot more. Maybe about half of the participants were actually first-timers. So that was really quite amazing. Yeah, and the energy was really good. People were listening to the speeches and responding to it. I think, you know, it was really heartfelt because many stayed on till, you know, right up till the end when the last speech ended. And I think women also were, you know, were learning about other issues, for example, like child marriage, the statistics, you know, the fact that we have women workers who are so underpaid and overworked. So I think that there was a lot of education going on as well, for, I would think, especially for the first timers, including the issues of the Orang Asli women.
And then Angela also shared how men at the march were actually facilitating women's participation during the march.
It was really interesting because the men who came for the march, they, you know, they didn't ask to speak. They weren't prominent in any way, and they were actually facilitating other women's participation. And I think that kind of sort of leadership and giving way and recognizing that this is the space that women are claiming and women need to speak about their lived realities, and facilitating that and just being present and listening. I think that's the best kind of male ally to have, you know. So I would like to also, you know, congratulate this men who were there, who really took time to be with us. And and the men who had like really powerful signs as well about, like, you know, real men don't fear equality and things like that. I really, really would like to congratulate and applaud.
So next I asked Angela if there was any backlash to the march this time around.
Definitely. I mean, last year we certainly had a lot of backlash, but this year as well, we've actually picked up on some, because, you know, it's very natural for women who are participating in this march to take photographs of themselves and post it on their social media accounts. You know, it's a day of celebration. It's a day of celebrating that for them, you know, to be able to speak out on the issues that they face to be able to listen to other women, right? Mm-hmm. But then we've picked up on where my friends and I have picked up on where men are taking these photographs and actually threatening to put it on porn websites, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel, I mean, I think these kinds of violations and backlash, you know, it's very difficult for women to seek redress because it's really not so clear under the law. And when women do make complaints, they actually put on the spot because, again, you know, there'll be questions like, what were you wearing? You know, why did you have this kind of sign? You know, mm-hmm. because some of the signs are very frank and very honest, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these signs need to be frank and honest and not sort of, be couched in polite language because otherwise people are not going to listen. They're not going to understand, you know. And understandably, you know, women are frustrated and they're not being heard. So, of course, they're going to be a lot more frank in the way they put up their signs and the kind of statements that they make on their signs. But I think it's really powerful and it's really, because it becomes really clear what the message is about.
Mm-hmm.
And I really salute and applaud them for the courage that they've taken. So, I mean, going back to the backlash, it's very difficult for people, especially vulnerable communities, and for women to make these complaints without being judged, you know, for who they are or what they might have been wearing or, you know, or the language they use for their sign.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no other way to put a lived reality across except in raw language.
And finally, Angela said that if she had to choose, she saw four issues that should be prioritized by the government in the next few years.
My priority, because one, of course, is ban all child marriage. I think that's really essential.
Mm-hmm.
The second one I feel is the Gender Equality Act needs to be in place. But having said that, I also feel public education is really important, and
mm-hmm.
The education system really needs to include mainstreaming human rights education.
Mm-hmm.
But based on the international human rights instruments and documents of the United Nations. It's hard to just pick three. And of course, I would urge that the government pays a lot more attention to climate crisis and put in a national action plan because that affects women, especially women who are poor, women like the Orang Asli women. It affects a lot of people across the board.
Mm-hmm.
One more is about women workers, right? I think for the longest time, women workers have been ignored. Their plight, their well-being has been ignored completely, especially the ones who are working as sort of consignment workers, you know, outsource workers. They are contractual. There are no rights protected. They're paid really lowly and expected to work long hours. So we had also like women workers speak, you know, and how they were talking about how they were stopped from being unionized and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we've ignored women workers' plight for too long, and we really need to pay attention to that.
So that was Angela M. Gugathas, a human rights activist and volunteer at the Women's March Malaysia that happened on this last Sunday. And I guess how ironic it is, right, that in less than 24 hours after the Women's March in Malaysia, the new Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced his new cabinet of ministers in which more than 84% comprises of men.
Mm. I mean, it's certainly a big change from the last cabinet, which was much more diverse and had women holding some fairly significant portfolios.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this has rubbed many people the wrong way, and for good reason, right? In a press release by the Women's Aid Organization, they said, we are disappointed to see that women continue to be underrepresented. Only 15.6% of ministers announced in this cabinet lineup are women. They also pointed out that there are other pressing issues as well, and they hope that this new cabinet will not forget and that the ministers that have been newly appointed, will not forget that the rakyat voted for reforms and that various reforms have been developed in the last 2 years. measures that were being that were going to be tabled in Parliament, and the WAO does call on the cabinet to explain to us how they intend to continue these efforts. And this includes things like the Sexual Harassment Act and the Gender Equality Act, which Angela spoke about just now, as well as things like the introduction of a 7-day paternity leave, anti-discrimination provisions in the Employment Act, and the enactment of anti-stalking laws.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things, which were sort of a rays of light for people who were fighting for gender equality, are they going to continue being addressed? Are they going to be tabled in Parliament, or are we going to see about turns? We don't know, but I hope there's positive change ahead rather than just a stall on these things.
Yes, and I think also because previously I've seen a lot of activists writing about this as well, and I think because a lot of them were working very closely with the ministries back then, so now that they feel a bit unsure of what the next step would be like for them. So, you know, really hoping that the new ministries, especially the new Ministry for Women and Family, will take on these issues, you know, will continue to push for them, because these are things that people have been wanting to happen for so long now, and you know, I think it seems so close for them to being pushed through. So I guess now we just have to wait and see.
Yeah. So it is kind of timely. And the reason all of these sort of fell together was, you know, International Women's Day happened, the Women's March happened.
Mm-hmm.
Then the cabinet was announced yesterday.
And
we have this research finding that's been actually really widely shared. I see lots of people sharing it on Facebook and on Twitter. And that's what we've been asking you on Twitter about.
Exactly. And that's because that survey by the UN found that 9 out of 10 people are still biased against women. So we were asking you if you notice incidences of this in your daily life. 45% of you say yes occasionally. 36% of you say yes all the time. And another almost 20% of you say no. We have Captain Arriva on Twitter saying that, especially in certain communities.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have a WhatsApp from Maggie saying that, have you noticed the staff who administer government or corporate openings and launches are mostly women? Is this a coincidence?
I think sometimes it's got to do perhaps with the fact that for so long, women were only viewed as being allowed in certain spaces, in certain careers. We are, for very good reason, seeing that change. And I hope that I would welcome men who want to work in launches and corporate openings. Why should we close those spaces off to them? Everyone can do whatever the job they want and are interested in.
And I think it is change that is happening slowly, even though we do need it to happen faster. Because sometimes you see studies or statistics that show if change keeps happening at the pace it's happening now, it's going to take us another 50, 100 years for us to reach equality. And I think many of us don't want to wait that long for it to happen.
I think that's interesting, right? Because that's exactly the problem when people say, oh, you know, why are you making a fuss? Things are better, you know? Why don't you look back to when things were better and when things were worse, and you should be grateful for what you have now? Yes, but things are still not the best they can be. And if we don't point out those problems, and if we don't fight or continue highlighting those instances of unfairness, then we'll continue to have research surveys that show really shocking results, like 1/3 of people think that it's okay for a man to beat his wife. I mean, honestly, for me, that was very confronting, because it's not something that, and it's not from, you know, you would assume that's from particular parts of the world or from particular communities, but this was a survey that was done across the globe.
That's right.
So that's stuff like that, you know, just needs to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what all of this is about.
And to go by what we have been saying quite a lot this year, right? It's already 2020.
Yes.
And yet we're still not seeing change happening, or not happening fast enough. So, I mean, I guess if you do want to affect change, there are always avenues for you to do that. You know, you can get in touch with all the human rights organizations. Mm-hmm. You can just talk to your family, talk to your neighbors about stereotypes that are harmful towards women. There's just so many little steps that you can take as a human being to sort of make this change happen just that little bit faster.
Yeah. And I suppose if you are one of those people who say you occasionally see these things happen in your daily life, once in a while, if you can call it out or correct it, or if you yourself do it, whether you're a man or a woman, in fact, that might go a long way as well. You can continue to share your thoughts with us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. That is all the time we have for today's show. If you'd like to drop us a longer message, you can always do so on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. So if you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app, or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m., I will be speaking to the people behind a, for Front Row, I will be speaking to a people behind a play called Masam Manis, which is a modern sort of cyber adaptation of P. Ramlee's classic movie Masam Masam Manis. So that's coming up after the break, and we will leave you now with more hope from Gloria Gaynor. I Will Survive on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.